Can we possibly find a sentence that would convey the power of God to us? The answer is no. But I'm going to try. The power of God is the strength and ability He has to bring to pass all that He commands and desires. And if He did not do this, He would cease to be God. God's power gives life and action to every aspect of His nature. For example, mercy would be nothing more than feeble pity without God's power. Promises would be nothing more than empty words without God's power. Predictions concerning judgment would be nothing more than a scare without His power. Just a couple of general comments. The first, the voice of God. In Psalm 62, verse 2, and I am going to be roaming over the scriptures this morning, it says this: God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Note, God has spoken once. You know, we speak so often. We are so repetitive in what we say. I can't count the number of times that my wife will turn to me and say, "John, you've already said that, and I got it first time." In high official places, people are continually saying the same thing or writing the same thing. Let me give you just one example. In the original Hebrew, the Ten Commandments consist of 173 words. In the EU regulation, it takes 30,000 words to tell us of the importance of cauliflowers. And if you don't believe me, pick up the EU regulation, turn to page 6 and start counting. After every murder, after every terrorist attack, after every injustice, leading politicians will come up with the same words. You can nearly repeat them in your sleep. We will conquer terrorism. They will be brought to justice. How often have you heard of this one? We will learn from our mistakes. How often have you heard this? I've done nothing wrong. They repeat the same words because they make the same mistakes. But it's not so with God. God speaks once and makes no mistakes. In Psalm 18:13, the Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High uttered His voice. His voice was like thunder. God has spoken once, and it is done. What about the actions of God? In Daniel 4:35, it says this: He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, "What hast thou done?" God's power is not acquired from somewhere else. God's power is not acquired by somebody else. God is the source of all power. He produces the power of the wind. He produces the power of water. He produces the power of steam. He produces the power of atomic energy. We see the power in the God's power in the governments of the earth. Throughout history, empires have arisen. During the time of their existence, they seemed unshakable. But those same empires have fallen. The Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, just a moment, you have heard of the British Empire, have you? Does it come to mind? Let's just remember this. When the British Empire was at its height and covered large parts of the world, people in history said, it's unshakable. The British Empire? You talk to our children, they don't know what you're on about. By God's power they rise, by God's power they fall. It's the same with governments. It's the same with world leaders. They all must submit to the power and authority of God. Because all authority is ordained by God. He is the originator of all power. And just remember this. God's power is never overtaxed. And God's power is never diminished. God's power will never run out. Job 38:4 says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Job 26:14, who can understand the thunder of his power? God has limitless, eternal power. An interesting verse in Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 4. It says, his brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. God's power conceals more than it reveals. And if we felt the full force of God's power, we'd be consumed in a moment. I want to just look at three areas where God's power is evident. And the first is this: God's power in creation. Psalm 89:11, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. God founded the world and everything in it. Now, just consider man for a moment. Man must have material before he can work. A blacksmith must have his hammer and anvil before he can work. A bricklayer must have his trowel and spirit level before he can work. A carpenter must have his saw and lathe before he can work. But God began with absolutely nothing. Just look at the human body. When God created Adam, he worked first time. Adam didn't have to go back to the Creator for amending or for readjusting. Psalm 33:9. God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood firm. God spoke once. When you go back to the beginning of the Bible and you have that wonderful Genesis account in chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light." When he asked for it, he got it. The speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, emerged from the mouth of God. And light was there. And that was just the beginning. I tell you, friends, it takes more faith to be an evolutionist than it does to be a creationist. Have you ever stood outside and just looked up at the midnight sky? Clear night. Have you ever seen the billions of stars in just our own Milky Way galaxy? Don't go any further. Just our own Milky Way galaxy. Over 2 billion stars. Have you ever asked, who put them there? Have you ever asked, out of what were they formed? Have you ever asked, upon what do they hang? They were formed out of nothing, and they hang upon nothing. And God knows each one by name, and not one of them is missing. You know, friends, we need to understand that we just cannot compare ourselves with God. It's foolish to try and do so. God is so huge. God is massive. God is enormous. And we are so small. Astronomers get very, very excited when they discover a new planet. The BBC jump on board, give them all the publicity that they want, and when they're interviewed, you would think that they'd even made the planet themselves. They get so excited. Look what I've found. Look what I've discovered. Do you know how God reacts? Psalm 2, verse 4. He laughs at them. He scoffs at them. I think God says to them, come on, search harder. There are things up here that would blow your mind out if you could only find them. When I look at the heavens, I have to ask, what is man? And I'll tell you what we are. We're a tiny speck, and I really mean tiny, a tiny speck on the radar of history. We're not as important as we thought we were. Now, I'm not trying to make you small. I wouldn't do that. You just are small. I don't have to do it. You are. And yet the amazing thing is that God knows us and God loves us despite our smallness. And God knows each one of us by name. Our God is a great big God. And he holds us in the very palm of his hand. I'd love to spend more time considering the power of God in creation. But we need to move on. But I finally say this before we move. Wherever you look, at the oceans of the world, at the mountains of the world, at animal life, at bird life, at plant life, or at the human body itself, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And may the glory go to the Creator alone. Let me turn to my second point. The power of God in creation. Now the power of God in Christ. When we consider God, we see almighty power. When we consider Christ, we see that same power, but this time in human action. Jesus spoke once. To the corpse, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." To the leper, he said, "Be clean." He spoke once. To the raging storm on Galilee, he said, "Peace, be still." He spoke once. To the legion of demons, he said, "Come out of him." He spoke once. Power belongs to Christ. You see power in his life. Look, when I see Jesus, I see someone in the same world that I am in. I see someone in the likeness of sinful nature. I see a man who knew what it was to be hungry. A man who knew what it was to be thirsty. A man who was physically weak at times. A man who knew what it was to be tired. A man who knew what it was to be disappointed with people. A man who knew what it was to be let down by people. And yet, what I see as I look at him is that he still stands. He always stands. With Jesus, there's no faltering. There's no failing. There's no wavering. Jesus stood against everything. And he gives us his power that we too might stand. We see power in his miracles. Here is one who commanded even the devils, and they obeyed him. He has power over disease. Nothing was beyond his power to heal. The blind were able to see, the deaf were able to hear, the dumb were able to speak, the lame were able to walk. He had power over nature, because he'd created it. The hungry were fed. The sea was calmed. The fig tree died. The multitude of fish were caught. He walked on water. He turned water into wine. Nothing was beyond the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is one other area where we see his power. It's the cross. When we turn to the cross, we see a remarkable paradox. From a human point of view, we see a man dying in weakness. Now, if that's what you see, please have a closer look. It's not weakness that you see on the cross. It's amazing strength. You see on the cross the power of God. The weakness of Christ was meant to reveal the power of the devil, but God overturned the tables. Instead, we see the power of Christ and the weakness of the devil. What took place at Calvary was an amazing victory. His people had been set free. 18 months or so ago, my wife and I had the opportunity of visiting our daughter and her husband in South Africa. And while we were there, we heard a certain Christian gentleman speaking. I can't remember his name, but he worked closely with the Space Kennedy Center and with NASA. He was a Christian scientist. And he was telling us about the wonders of God's creative work. And in doing so, he told us that Christian scientists were overjoyed at one of the latest discoveries. Because scientists, astronomers, have just discovered a new galaxy. And it's called the Whirlpool Galaxy. And when the astronomers discovered the Whirlpool Galaxy, they got the most powerful telescopes they possibly could have, and they zoomed in, and they saw the center of this galaxy, a circle, and it was white. But they thought, let's try and go the full length of power that we've got. And they zoomed in to the maximum. And Christian scientists went, wow! Why did they do that? Because when they'd zoomed in to the very heart and center of the Whirlpool Galaxy, the latest galaxy to be discovered, yes, they saw the circle. White it was, but in the center of it, there was a cross. And it showed to the scientists, and it shows to me, that the cross is at the very heart of God's wonderful creation. But turn to the resurrection. Jesus is victorious over the last enemy. He defeats all the powers arrayed against him. Sin, death, and hell. The devil is defeated. Christ rises in triumph. Jesus, my friends, is almighty and victorious, and to him alone is the honor and the praise and the glory, both now and forever. I want to come to my last point. The power of God in creation, the power of God in Christ, but what about the power of God in us? Just a few points to leave you with. First, we are created by his power. Now, I said that God speaks once. Well, I think on this occasion God speaks three times. In Genesis 1:27, he says this, that God created man in his own image once. In the image of God created he him twice. Male and female created he them three times. I think God must have known the problem we were going to have over the issue of creation. And God had to make it abundantly clear to our thick skulls that he created us, and he had to say three times to make it as clear as possible. Throughout Scripture, the prophets, the Psalms, the apostles all testify that we were fashioned from the dust of the earth by a powerful Creator. Every part of our body was placed by Almighty God in its appropriate place. Our heart, our lungs, our liver, our kidneys are there to fulfill a vital purpose. They work in conjunction with each other. But what about the brain? What a remarkable creation the brain is. Now, the brain is the most intricate computer system ever known to man. Now, I'm not up with computers. Believe you me, I know the basics. And when I say the basics, the very basics about computers. I can just get by. And I acknowledge this, that it takes a genius to invent a computer. But I also acknowledge this, it takes an almighty God to create a brain. So we are created by his power. Secondly, we are saved by his power. Because of our rebellion against God, we're spiritually dead. We're without God, we're without hope in the world. We cannot rescue ourselves from our condition, and no one else can rescue us. We are dead, we're lost in sin. And the tragedy is, so often people are content to remain in that condition. But listen to what Paul says, chapter 1, 18 of Ephesians. I pray that you may know his incomparably great power to us who believe. And that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ. If God had not released his power upon us this morning, we would still be dead in our trespasses and sins. Third, we are kept by his power. In that great high priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus asked the Father that he would protect them by the power of his name. And in verse 12, the reply, I did protect them, and I kept them safe. Friends, the Christian is very much aware that they are battling against a spiritual adversary, one who is subtle, one who is deceitful, one who is a liar, one who is a cheat, one who is a murderer. The devil will do anything he can to do damage to the kingdom of God. And if the devil can work through us to do that damage, he will do. Therefore, we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We cannot keep ourselves. We can't. But thank God we are being kept. The final thing I would say to you is this. We are changed by his power. If you look back to your pre-conversion days and now look now, you will notice a significant change. Well, let me put it this way. If there has been no change, then I have to question where you are spiritually. There must be a change. A change in our character, a change in our conduct, a change in our conversation. But let me say this, that change is continuing. God's power is continually at work in transforming our lives into the image of Christ. And one day we're going to be completely transformed. We're going to become like him. The image that was lost in Eden will be restored in glory. Paul puts it like this. We have been changed. We are being changed. And we will be changed. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So wherever we look, we see God's power. It's there in creation. Don't walk around a beautiful county without seeing the power of God before your eyes. We see it in Christ as we read the scriptures. It's there. But we can also see it in ourselves as he graciously and patiently transforms us into the image and the likeness of Jesus. What a God we have. A God of all power, a God of all truth, and a God of all grace. And this God, this great, all-powerful God, is our Father. We are privileged people indeed.